Welcome to the Whole Life Podcast Show. I am Dr. Barbara. I am a minister and I also happen to be a psychologist. And today we're going to talk about Jesus healing our inner pain. Today is going to be part one of our journey through Jesus healing our inner pain and us learning more about the heart journey, heart healing process. I'm so glad to be with you. Enjoy. Thrilled to be with you. I have so much to share with you. I'm going to pray. I'm going to start out with some prayer. Lord, I want to thank you for these beauties from around the world, God, from around the country and around the world. Lord, I pray for healing. I pray, Father, that you would literally bind up and heal their broken hearts today. Lord, I know what it is to white knuckle it through life. I know what it is to hurt so much that I feel like I don't know how I'm going to make it through. Lord, wherever our wounds are, wherever our hearts are, God, touch us. It's been a hard week. It's just been a hard week with the headlines, with the world, with 9/11. And Lord, at least in the U.S. And Lord, I pray for so much encouragement to come forth because you are a kingdom God and you are above everything that's going on in this earth. And you are using all things for your good and your kingdom is coming and your kingdom is a kingdom of love and goodness and healing. And we worship you. We thank you for the ultimate sacrifice that Jesus made that we could have our broken hearts healed and for salvation as well, of course, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Well, I know some of you are new to me and some of you have been with me and in my courses and communities for a while. So welcome. So let's go ahead and get started. I'm going to put myself up in the corner here. There we go. All right. So just very quickly, just remember that this is ministry, not therapy. And I want you to keep yourself comfortable. We're going to do a few healing encounters as we go through this. And so I want to make sure that you stay safe and that you use your grounding skills, whatever stability skills work for you. And when we do a little bit of memory work, I want you to not pick the hardest memory. I definitely want you to stay in the more shallow zone because I want you to stay in a zone of safety. So who am I? Well, you know what? Honestly, I'm just a Jesus-loving girl. And I'm a girl who has been through a lot of trauma. And the Lord has healed me tremendously. I mean, tremendously. If I could, and I will share a little bit of my story with you, but I am the least likely person, y'all, to be here ministering. I had 9 of the 10 adverse childhood events. Not all of them happened in childhood, but in my life and in my young life. And I should be a total basket case. And yet, Jesus, I get to see people heal every single day of my life, whether I'm working as a psychologist and a minister. And then I have some credentials to back that up and some skills. And all that is woven into this work that we do, this heart journey work. So we're going to journey into the heart home. And I want you to remember to make yourself comfortable, okay? You can, like, I have my favorite beverage. A lot of times when I go live, I'm drinking a Fresca. I love me some Fresca. Is it the healthiest drink in the world? It is my guilty pleasure. Thank you very much. So make yourself comfortable and remember that Jesus longs for your wholeness, that he actually took stripes for your healing, that he is the one that causes you to have and enjoy life. All right, so we might think, well, what about trauma? And does the Bible even talk about trauma? Y'all, it's in the Bible. It is in the Bible. Look at this. This is the scripture that Jesus quoted in Luke 4. And in this scripture, he says, I'm here to bind up the brokenhearted. And he also says that in Psalm 147:3. Jesus comes to heal the brokenhearted. In the scripture, there is not where we repent of a broken heart. We don't, you know, take these three steps to heal a broken heart. There is one way to heal a broken heart, and that is to have the Father, have Jesus bind up and heal the broken heart. I think about the woman at the well. She had some kind of encounter with Jesus with her broken heart. She'd been married five times, and women didn't have the power to divorce then, so she'd probably been left five times. She was at the well at the heat of the day. What happened that she became so great that the Fox's Book of Martyrs and other ancient literature talks about her as great as the apostles, that she was a Jesus follower. She converted her whole town, and she was one of the first martyrs. I think it is that she had an encounter with Jesus that healed her broken heart. So this word for broken heart means broken, destroyed, crushed, mauled, devastated, smashed, grieved, suffered. Beloved, we're talking about your deepest wounds. We're even talking about where wounds come through generations past and are passed down through our epigenetics, where the wounds are visited for three and four generations. We see that in our lives. I see that. I've seen that in my life, where domestic violence and abuse was just passed down in the wounds. But Jesus binds up and heals the brokenhearted. And beloved, this is why it's so important for us to have encounters with our Lord. Because just like the woman at the well, just like the woman at the well who was tossed away by men, I know what it is to be tossed away by men. She likely had a rough upbringing. You know, she was, she had prejudice against her because she was a Samaritan. And yet Jesus, an encounter with Jesus at the well, at that place of betrothal, that was so often a place of betrothal in the Bible, she was healed. And beloved, the Lord wants to do this for you too, but it's often a process. Yeah, you know, the disciples followed him for 3 years before they were ready to launch out. And a lot of times we just want this divine image of God to come through. We want our wounds to be healed instantly. Oh, sweet friends, I wish it was an instant, but I know because of what I do for a living, and I so believe in the power of God, that it is a process. It's a process. Now, I want to share with you something the Lord has been telling me all summer. And he's been speaking to me that September is going to be a time of breakthrough. And what the Lord kept telling me is it's not going to come how people want it to come. The September is going to be a time of breakthrough that's going to come in a way that's different from how people expect. And it's going to be an internal breakthrough. Like a lot of times we want our circumstances to change, but the Lord is bringing an internal breakthrough. And I think for many of you, that's going to be joining me with Heart Journey, which, believe it or not, starts September 21st at 6 p.m. And the next day is the Jewish New Year. I just feel like, which is a time of new. I just feel like, wow, God, you're so good. The Jewish New Year is a time of spiritual renewal, and it's prophetically a time of real shift and change. And we're in that time. So I want to ask you, beloved, you're here with me, you're giving up time, your precious time on a Sunday night. And so I want to say, are you weary? Are you weary and heavy laden? Like, are you burnt out? Are you tired? Are you feeling like you're stuck in patterns and you need a way out? Are you feeling like, I'm so tired of doing this every single day? Are you feeling like, I don't want to go through the next school year? You know, we live by a lot of campuses, so we are a lot based on the academic system here in Raleigh, Durham, North Carolina. But Are you thinking, I don't want to go through the fall, spring, and fall, winter, and spring the way I did last year? I want more. I'm hungry for more. Beloved, the Lord is calling us to come to the table. Come to the table. I think about Mephibosheth that ate at the king's table, even though he felt like he was a dead dog. He was in hiding. He had been dropped in trauma by his nursemaid when his father died. Have you been dropped in trauma and you can't walk? That's where he was. And I say the Lord, but it was David, who's an image of Jesus. David, in some ways, David brought him to the table and he ate at the king's table every day of his life. And beloved, God has that for you. I grew up, I was dropped right into trauma. My mom didn't know who my dad was. She wasn't sure. She had lied to my father and he married her, and there was a rape. So there's a lot of how I started that was really in question. And so my mom didn't like me. I'm proud of her for choosing me, and she did the best she could, but she often would tell me she hated me. And my mom grew up in domestic violence and alcoholism, and so did my dad, and they both repeated the pattern. And it was so bad that I was even homeless for part of my adolescence, because neither one of them wanted me and both had violently come against me. And so to cope, I developed eating disorders and my own addictions and just lots of escaping. I felt so wounded, so hurt. I felt like I didn't fit in anywhere. And I became a Christian at 19. And by that time, there had been suicide attempts. I was self-harming before self-harm was a thing. And Jesus. Now, it wasn't all roses from there, but it was the beginning of my healing. And what happened was, over time, where I was afraid of psychology, honestly. It's funny that I am a psychologist, because I was kind of afraid of it. And now I'm in this space where I'm totally Jesus and also totally psychology. And I'm in this space between these two worlds that sometimes can be at odds. But here I am, and I've experienced the healing power of Jesus over and over, and the healing power of science. I've studied trauma for many, many years, and I've studied inner healing and walked with Jesus for something like 35, 36 years now. And so this all culminates into the Heart Journey book and journal, and then the online community that we're developing, or that we've developed, that we're talking about tonight. I'm also going to be developing Heart Journey for churches. So that's going to be our next development for women. And then we're going to move into Heart Journey for men, couples, et cetera. But my story is a miracle story. I've had a child, a full-term stillborn. My dad died by suicide. I've had unwanted divorce. I've had all these things that should make me a statistic. Research-wise, I should not be doing what I'm doing, and I should not have the joy in Jesus that I have. But y'all, it is Jesus. And it's not my temperament, because I used to be so afraid of myself that I didn't want to feel any feeling, because if I did, I was afraid I would fall into a deep depression, because I had so much unprocessed grief. And today, I'm not afraid of myself. So, your story, I'm sure, is different from mine, but I share my testimony to say there is healing and there is hope. And I'm not some kind of, everything's fine in my life, let's fix yours. No, I'm real. We're going to walk through this real. So I want to ask you, there I am. All right, I want to ask you, are you feeling burnt out? Because a lot of times we're serving the Lord and the burnout comes, and we're tired in our marriage, in our motherhood, in our serving, in our just work life, and all these places, because we're cycling through old patterns that are based on wounds from the past, that are based, beloved, on our broken heart. But it doesn't feel like it's based on our broken heart, but we know we're overreacting. We don't want to admit it, but we know we are. The overreaction, or the where it's hysterical, beloved, it's historical. I remember one time when my roommate, this is a long time ago, my roommate was decorating for Christmas with her boyfriend, and they had a child. And I came out and I sobbed and I cried and I was so angry. And I went to a mentor's house and she's like, what's going on here? And finally out it came. My mother used to leave me out and have holidays, you know, would do things with the family without me. You see, it was hysterical because it was historical, beloved. So what we need fresh fire. And we are going to touch into that fire of God. And we need fresh water of the Spirit. Beloved, we need to be above the headlines. We need to be above what the dross of society. And we need to be walking in the kingdom together. And yet it's those very headlines that are going to pull on all the wounds of our hearts and make us feel so unsafe. We need fresh wine of the Spirit. I truly mean of the Spirit. I don't have a problem with alcohol, but I personally can't drink. But my husband does love tequila and doesn't have a problem with it. So, okay, so this is the book and journal that we go through, and our areas of transformation. We're going to go through some of these today. So stick with me. Restoring my heart, my mind, my nervous system. Is your nervous system kind of jacked? We're going to talk about that. And we spend a whole chapter, a whole month on that in Heart Journey. Healthy habits, our narrative, our emotions, our security, boundaries, peace, loss, opportunities, purpose in life. If you haven't visited the homepage of Heart Journey, it's at drbarbaraministries.org/experience. You can see it on the bottom. And you might be wondering, why do we take, we're about to get into some tools with you in encounters, but why 11 months? Well, beloved, it's because we must spiritually form around wholeness. We need healing, and that takes time. Surgery, like if you get knee surgery, let's think about Mephibosheth. He needed replacement ankles. That would take time to heal, even after the surgery. And it's encounters with Jesus that heal, just like the woman at the well. And we need to gain stability before we go into some of those surgical places to work on some of those wounds. And then we need to integrate the healing, and we need to have community. So in Heart Journey, we have, we kind of think of it in two different groups of skills or two different groups of experiences. We think about tools that equip, and I teach you tons of tools, and I'm about to teach you many tools today. But we also have encounters that transform in an instant. Now, is it that my whole life changes in an instant? Yes and no, right? Because I'm still moving from glory to glory to glory to glory. Y'all, I'm still healing. I'm still healing after all the work and the trauma and the education and the curriculum development and the research and the therapy, giving therapy, also receiving therapy that I've done over the past 35 years. I'm still healing. So we're all still healing. Going to admit these people real quick. Okay. All right. So we think about healing in these three stages. So we have safety and stability. That's the first four chapters of the Heart Journey book and journal. And then we have memory reconsolidation or time reversing trauma. And then those are four chapters. And then the last four chapters are about integration, healing, wrapping it all into one big healing package. And that's where we work on forgiveness of others and forgiveness of myself at every age and stage. Now, there's an important tool that we use in Heart Journey. We call it pneumaception or theologians call it pneumatological imagination. I was so excited when I spent a year at Duke and thought and learned that there's a word for this. I made up a word, pneumoception, but there's actually a theological word. And here we encounter Jesus, like he's not in the flesh and blood in front of us, but we experience his spirit just as Jesus did, because Jesus said, I don't do anything unless I see my Father doing it. And what I see my Father doing, I do. So we see what the Father does. He says, my sheep listen to my voice. So we listen to his voice just like Jesus did. And then, of course, Jeremiah 33 talks about call unto me and I will show you hidden things. And then John 16, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will show you. He will speak truth, and he's not going to speak on his own, but he's going to speak for Jesus, and he's going to declare things to us. And then blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So I believe that any kind of wisdom or knowledge we get from the Spirit should be verified in the Bible. So I'm not talking about outside information. I'm not talking about new revelation, but God is able to speak to us in a way that brings that word alive. I get impressions from him a lot of times, kind of images and pictures, and he's those who've walked with me, we kind of tune in to learning his voice more and more. And so in a lot of our tools, we're experiencing what is Jesus saying or doing in this memory. All right, let's get into a few safety and stability skills here. So this is what a healthy nervous system looks like, beloved. So it goes up and down, but it still stays in the window of tolerance. But when we've had trauma, our nervous system gets stuck on with all that hostility, high startle response, digestive problems, flooding, and we can only stay up there so long before we crash down into parasympathetic shut off, depression, disorientation, disconnection, dissociation. Now, when we don't heal our traumas, when we don't properly process and bring before the Lord our broken heart, what happens is we get triggered, just like I did in that Christmas story. We get triggered, and then our nervous system does that same thing as if the trauma had just happened. So we want to learn when we're bumping out of our window of tolerance, and we want to learn skills for staying in the window of tolerance. And I'm going to teach you a few of those here in a minute. Again, here's the QR code for slides. Okay, so we have a whole section of the book that teaches skills for stability of our mind. And today we're only going to do one tool from that section. It's a tool that the Lord gave me when my children's dad, my first husband, left, and I just had little babies, and the Lord gave me this tool. And so this one came straight from the Father. But you know, when we think about the mind, the scripture says whatever's true, pure, worthy of reverence, honorable, lovely, to think on these things. And so, you know, whatever I bring you into, I want it to be scriptural, because I'm a Bible girl, you know, and Bible girls do Bible things. And so I want to show you that these pieces are all in the scripture or are scriptural. All right, so we're going to do a little encounter. If you're driving, I just want you to listen. But if you're not driving, I'd love for you to get comfortable. And I wonder if you could imagine your mind as a giant mansion with lots of wonderful rooms. And in each room, there are windows and doors, and you can easily move from room to room. You're never trapped. And I wonder if you could invite Jesus into your mind mansion and imagining and softening into holding hands with our precious Lord. And where do you want to go in your mind mansion with Jesus? Maybe you want to go into an area where you can remember a favorite vacation and be with Jesus in that place. Maybe you want to take a vacation to the Bahamas with Jesus and you're going to go into that room. Or maybe because Jesus is in you and you're seated in heavenly places, maybe you want to go all the way up into heavenly places with Jesus and just nestle into maybe the Lion of Judah, his mane, feeling his safety, running in the fields with him. I wonder if you could look at his eyes and notice how much he loves you, beloved. You are so loved. You belong. And drinking in his love and wiggling your fingers and your toes and opening your eyes if they're closed. Now, normally we would take much more time. And when I go through the heart journey, mentoring and community experience, we spend, I go through all of this over the course of almost a year. And so it would be like 25 teaching sessions and then 25 group coaching sessions. So there's so much more. I'm just giving you a taste. Oh, so there's a lot more stability skills for the mind, but there's also stability skills for the emotion. And, you know, God cares about our emotions. And, you know, emotions are neurological events that happen. But actually, a lot of our decisions come out of our emotions, and a lot of our triggers play out in our emotions. And then some of our negative behaviors come out of all that. And so the Lord cares about this area and he wants to bring healing. So there's a tool. There is a tool called Kind Eyes in the Eyes of Jesus that we go through. I'm not going to do that one because we went into that just a teeny bit. We do a lot more with the actual skill. But I want to share with you the self-momming or self-parenting tool. So again, we're going to have an encounter. So I wonder if you could think about a time this week when you were kind of frazzled or a little upset. And think about what you felt in your body. When you think about that time that you were kind of frazzled, what do you feel in your body? So now, if that feeling were a color or a texture or a sensation, what would that be? So identify that, and then I'm sorry if I'm moving a little too fast. Scroll back on that color, texture, or sensation to a memory where you felt that way before. Not your worst trauma, but something that's kind of a mild unmet need, maybe. Thinking in particular about childhood. Like, I remember this one memory when my mom slapped me out of the blue and I didn't know why, and it was in front of my friend. And now we're going to welcome Jesus into that memory. See if you can find Jesus in that memory, beloved. And notice the safety he's bringing. We're using our pneumatological imagination. And what does Jesus want to say to you in that memory? And now we're going to also bring in your most loving part of self, that part that's either a mommy or a teacher or a nurse or that takes care of your friends or your niece or nephew. We're going to bring that part in. And what does that part of you want to say to the little girl part of you? Maybe something like, I've got your back, honey. Or I'm sorry that happened. Or I'm with you. And just allowing yourself to drink in the love of Jesus and the love of your own self. It's like we become one with Jesus and begin to parent our own self the way Jesus wants us to. All right, again, wiggling your fingers and your toes. So that's just a taste of what we do over and over and a lot more slowly in Heart Journey. Now, this is a tool that I hope that you use all the time. It will change your life. So we have tools for stability of the nervous system. And we know that the fruit of the Spirit comes out of the Spirit, but also a regulated nervous system. We think about love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. All these actually come out of a more regulated nervous system. So it's so important to learn to regulate our nervous system. And I love that the breath of God is the ruach of God. There's actually two words in the scripture, but they both mean breath. And so I love using breath work, but doing it in a way where we're breathing in the Spirit of God. And so we have tools like four square breathing, where we breathe in for four, breathing in the ruach of God, hold for four, breathe out for four, hold for four. And we have a lot of tools in this section of the book where we work on grounding with Jesus, tracking with Jesus. So many tools that are about the nervous system, but all with Jesus because he's in our body and we are utilizing the Holy Spirit within us. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit to regulate our nervous system along with our breath. Okay, we also work on boundaries a lot in Heart Journey, and I'm going to give you a little tool here in a minute, but we work on boundaries in a lot of different ways, including from a trauma perspective in Heart Journey. I love this scripture in Galatians 6 because it talks about, it says, carry one another's burdens, and it says each one should carry his own load. So what does that mean? I carry my own load, but we carry each other's burdens. Well, actually, the Greek word for carrying your own load means something like carrying your own backpack. You know, so I actually use a backpack instead of a briefcase, and I carry it every day, and it's not too heavy for me. So it's like your daily cargo. But bear one another's burdens actually means excessive load. So here's what I want to ask you, and this is some of the work we do in our stability phase of Heart Journey. Where are you carrying your own load? And what are examples of that? Where are you also carrying other people's daily loads? Like sometimes we're enabling other people by doing things for them they should be doing for themselves. Other times we have these excessive loads that we're not asking for help with. Like I see Heart Journey as something where you're asking for help and we're saying, we are here. We're going to do this with you. And that's why we incorporate prayer and walking together in so many different ways. And so you want to look at these patterns in your life and you want to let others carry your excessive loads for you. And you want to carry your own load and not carry anyone else's own load. So these are some of the things we work on. We definitely work on boundaries and Heart Journey. We also look at behaviors that are getting in the way of our healing. And we look at how we can make changes in those behaviors. So this is like that metanoia, that Greek word for change. But when we have a behavior that's getting in the way of healing, like let's say if every time I'm stressed, I drink a bottle of wine, or every time I'm stressed, I call my ex-boyfriend, or every time I'm really down, I eat a bag of chocolate, instead of turning to Jesus with those things. So all these behaviors that are not helpful have a function. And so we look at the function of the behavior. Is it for attention? Is it to access something tangible? Is it to escape or avoid something? Is it to get some kind of sensory stimulation or reduce pain? We look at the functions, and then we develop replacement behaviors. Like, instead of crunchy chips, I could crunch on carrots. Or if I need attention, how can I get that in a healthy way from a mentor rather than from that ex-boyfriend who was destructive and narcissistic? Or how can I use like some wholesome TV or take a walk to feel better instead of drinking that wine? It's not that wine is bad, but you know if it's a problem, right? And that's what we're talking about. And we're wanting to grow in self-leadership. And I love this picture because it's like I'm learning how to lead all the little parts of me. All the little parts of me need to be loved and need to be led. And often when we're behaving badly, or when we're escaping or in excess of behavior, it's just a child part of us that's acting out. And we just need to develop self-leadership with Jesus so that Jesus can lead all those parts. And just remembering we're not our thoughts or our urges. We are children of God. And we are hidden in Christ. And so there's real power in that. And we help you walk in that. Thank you so much for being with us in part one of Healing My Inner Pain with Jesus. We're going to learn more about the heart journey process. And we're going to learn more about how Jesus heals our pain, heals our boundary ruptures, time reverses trauma in the next episode. I'll see you then.